both the Ritva and the Ra'al connect the two Lashonos here as machlokas of whether you accept the previous sugya or not. So I'm just pointing out that that may very well trace its way back to Provence. I don't know. Okay. So anyway, so what I want to try to do today is to try to go through as much of the sugya as we can before. Again, I think we sort of touched. We really dealt with the heart of the sugya already, but I'm willing to go back and do further analysis. But I'd like to try to get to where the Gemara goes with this. So yesterday, I think we stopped with the Gemara's question of if, in fact, Hagbah Tzorach Hotzah, if Akira, if Yevshal Lahanacha below Akira, if in fact what you say, and I think all the Rishonim Kimat, all the Rishonim say that the Gemara's question here is only if you adopt what I call the Lishna Kama, that Yevshal Lahagbah Lahanacha below Akira. What that means is that the Malacha of Hotzah or of Havara Dal Aramis Bershus HaRabim begins with an Akira, ends with Hanacha, and that's considered the duration of a Malacha. Any act of Chiyuv Mamon that occurs between point A and point B, including point A and point B, are to be considered simultaneous for the purposes, certainly, of Kamlei B'Rabamine. That was the way I think we agreed to explain the first Lashon of the Gemara. So based upon that, the Gemara says, look, if I am Magbiah this watch, I steal your watch, Hillel, and I walk out into the Rishas HaRabim, so when is the Hagbah, when is the Geneva take place? When I Magbiah the watch. When does the Malacha begin? When I Magbiah the watch, right? Because I pick up the watch and I walk out. So if the Hagbah on the watch is both the act of the Geneva and the beginning of the Malach on Shabbos, why does the Braisa say that you're Chayiv because Par Nischayiv B'Geneva Kodem Shem Nischayiv B'Nafsha Kodem Sheyavah Lidei Eser Skila is the Braisa's expression. So that was the Gemara's question. Now what was the second half? Which is Hayim Megarer V'Yotze Megarer V'Yotze Potter Sharei Eser Shabbos U'Geneva Boin Ke'el. So just I want to make one comment on that particular thing, because some of you and more in Seder than in Shir were bothering about the question of when is the Chiyuv of what's the Akira by Greira? What's the Akira by Greira? So some wanted to say, we mentioned that by Greira it's not an Akira unless you're moving it, changing Rishuyos. So the Akira takes place immediately before you exit into the Rishus HaRabim, and the Hanacha takes place as soon as you enter the Rishus HaRabim, and that's the exact time of the Geneva, as they really are literally simultaneous. Others wanted to make a very, very odd Ukimta, which was that there is no Akira by Greira. So you know what the case of the Ramban says this? The case is as follows. Pretend that this is three... Close. My hands are big. This is three tefachim tall. This is the Rishus HaYachid. So you know what I'm doing? Now, as soon as it exits into the Rishus HaRabim, where is it? Three tefachim off the ground. Therefore, that is the Akira is when I pull it off the thing. And if I stop right here, then even if I put it down for the Hanacha, the bottom line is the Geneva and the Akira take place at the same time. And in this case, it is E-Efshar, right? In other words, it's not a Kasha anymore because there's no other way to get it out without doing some kind of Akira, whether I do it this way or whether I do it this way. So that was the Ramban's Teretz.
That's Hagbah for Kenyan.
Yes.
If it's on your desk and I just hold on to it and you pull the desk away, that's...
You got it. Now I'm holding it three tefachim off the ground.
Oh, it's not an act of raising it?
You don't have to act. You have to an act of holding it three tefachim off the ground. See, when you don't pull three... Whatever the shear is, it's machlokas harishonim, what the shear is for Kenyan by Hagbah, whatever the shear is, it means that by holding it in such a position, I'm demonstrating ownership over it. If it's too close to the ground, it means, in other words, it's still on the ground. It's like I'm touching. It's like I'm petting the dog rather than picking the dog up. Okay? Has there Shemini had a question?
It's not Geneva if you drag it out of the Rishus, but it's less than three tefachim off the ground.
It is not Geneva.
Is that what you just said?
No, it could be Geneva. It is conceivable. We're not dealing with the Isser Geneva here. It's not Geneva until I take it and hold it in the Rishus HaRabim. Or even if the Hagbah weren't the act, it could be if I go like this, right now is the Akira. Right now, it's three tefachim off the ground. Well, it's funny because in a certain sense, the akira takes place almost in the Rosh Hasharabim. But the point is, when I pull it out of here, I'm being okere. And now it's I haven't done a hanach yet. And if, even if I then let it go down and drag it along, so when I stop, so the geneva takes place along with the akira, which is absolutely necessary. It's ef shabalo akira. There's no other way to do the act. Of to do the act. What does it go? How does it go here? Hagbat Sarah Chutza. No, sorry. So the point is that here it's not that in a Hanami, if the Hagbat took place here, I'd be chayv also according to this man to Amar. No, I'm sorry. If I did the the problem here is that the hagbah takes place before. Why am I chayiv if that hagbah was the akira? But in this case, because the akira takes place simultaneous with the kinyan, because even whether it's gorer in the Rosh Hasharabim or the hagbah, which is kone anywhere, either of those two kinyanim only takes place when it has just left the Rosh Hashayachid. So therefore, they are mamish simultaneous. It's not that the akira of Shabbos takes place. In that case, both the akira of the chiyuv of Shabbos and the chiyuv of geneva are mamish b'ein kachas. Right.
It's not akira unless it's three tefachim off the ground.
So let's assume for the moment, for Shabbos, certainly. For Shabbos, certainly. Okay, let's assume for the moment, like Rashi, just to keep it simple, that you need it for Hagbah as well.
You know what for
Hagbah? Hagbah, for Kinyan as well. Sam?
Why can't you just say that, it's not just say, but Akira is really a measure of taking something out of the Rishos, and therefore when you don't even have to pick up the ground, since you're...
So that's the Ravid Shita. That is the Ravid Shita. Right. What's more interesting here, and I don't want to get too bogged down in this, is the question: what is the nature of gorer? In other words, according to these terutz in the Mishonim, it would seem, according to the Ramban certainly, that it's a case where it's three tefachim off the ground. What happens if I take an object and I drag it to Rosh Hasharabim?
Wait, to
the
Shetanim?
In. I got an object, okay, and I want to get it over there. So, what happens if I just drag it this way? So according to the Ramban, you pop it, which is very odd. He brings a raya from a Gemara in Shabbos, but I knew that Rishonim deal with it differently, and what the Gemara in Shabbos, the way the Ritva explains why the Gemara in Shabbos is irrelevant is for the following reason. The Gemara in Shabbos is dealing with the following case. Why you put it there? Because the object is always resting, part of the object is always resting in place on the ground. And therefore, when I do X, at that point, I never actually did any Akira because one part of the object, when I start here, one part of the object always remained in connection where it was before I started. Now that motion is stopped, so I haven't done any Akira yet. And then, because this thing isn't in contact with the ground, that's also not called an Akira. Whereas, if I take this, that's called an akira, because as soon as I start to drag it, every part of the object is no longer in the original place. That's the way the Ritva explains. And I think there are other Rishonim also, probably if you look in Shabbos, who hold that way.
What about a stroller?
What's that?
So if you push a stroller according to the Ritva, in the Shuta Rabin, then you're not violating any carrying?
No. The kasha would be for the Ramban.
Sorry, I meant the Ramban.
For the Ramban. I don't know what the Ramban would do with that. But fortunately, we're not doing Melachas Hatzah now, so I can skip over that. So this, by the way, does raise problems. It does raise problems because I'm not sure I understand what the Gemara means now. So I have a question for you. If the Ritva is correct, which I think intuitively is, imagine that this is the line here. Okay, this is the line between Rosh Hasharabim and Rosh Hashayachid. When did I do the Akira?
As soon as you moved all the parts of that from
which is the first moment, right? Right.
It's a
unless
portal, it's going
what's that? I'm sorry?
It's like an Akira portal it's going through. Every single part of it is going halfway through the Akira. If you go through like frame by frame, you're finding half Akira occurring for half the item.
No, it's all simultaneous. The whole object moves at the same time.
All simultaneous.
So the question is, what does the Gemara envision Megara Viyotze, Megara Viyotze? I think so. I think you have to say, it means that I, Megara Viyotze doesn't mean that I drag it from here in the Shusarabim to here. Or here in the Shusarayachat all the way across. It means it's at the edge when I pull it. Because otherwise, in other words, if it's one continuous action, if the Ritva is correct, then it's exactly the case of Hagbah.
Or so you drag it to the edge, stop.
Stop. You have to. It has to be perched. Then according to the Ritva, not according to the Ramban, or according to the Ravid, but according to the Ritva, when I start dragging it, that constitutes an Akira.
Once you start dragging it while it's halfway out, that's also an Akira.
No, because, he asked a good question. The answer to that question is, in order to be chayav on taking an object out, you have to pull the entire object out.
No, it's like the beginning of your Akira starts before your...
So we're going to play here the conceptual game of quanta, which is the last moment when the dx, I'll do calculus, when dx of the thing is still left in the Rishus HaYachid, you haven't been kona yet because the mashiach has not all taken place in Rishus, and you haven't been mochi yet. As soon as you take it out, all the way...
As long as it's within that framework.
So then the
Hanacha and all this is all something.
Right. No, well, the Hanacha may not be, but that's okay. The key is we want in other words, we want the but that's that point. You could stop right there. That's the point. So we don't care if you take it a little further. I think that's what you have to say. Gerav Yotze means certainly according to the Ritva, right, according to the Ramban and the Ravid, it's not akasha because dragging itself is not an akira. It's only for the Ravid. It's only an akira when you motzi it merushus loshus. The Akira Me Rishus L'Rishus is called the Akira, and according to the Ramban, you have to take it off a cliff, a three tefach cliff. The advantage of the Ritva is what about Gorer Rishus Arabim? Right? I don't know what the Ramban and the Ravid would say.
The Ramban and the Ravid have to explain the double lashon and Megar Viyotze, which seems.
I don't think they comment on that. Right? It works well for what we're explaining, within the Ritva, Danny. But by Zorik, you don't have a problem because the Akira is when you throw it or when you pick it up off the ground, one or the other.
No.
He's just saying that normally Megara is not considered Akira because it doesn't leave the ground. But he's saying that leaving Rishus is like, instead of going into the air, it's leaving its place.
you can't apply that always and say there's always an Akira as soon as it leaves Rishus.
Well, why do you need to? By Zorek and by Magbia and walk out with it, you don't need to. You have an Akira already. Right? In other words, if you did, by the way, the Gemara here can't be assuming that. Because the Gemara is distinguishing precisely between Magbia and Gorer. And if Magbia were the same din, then theoretically, even though I do an Akira when I do the Hagbah, as soon as I get to the edge, another Akira happens, right? And that can't be what's going on here.
Well, unless the nature of Masifa is that it's different than Hagbah, and Masifa is its own exclusive...
The Mashicha... No, in other words, the point is that in the first case, it's a Kenyan Hagbah. In the second case, it's a Kenyan Mashicha, but that doesn't have to... In other words, the Megara Viyotze, the Kenyan is when I dragged it in the Rishus HaRabim. So that, in other words, the that's totally separate than the question of Shabbos. It's unrelated to the Kenyan of Geneva is not... what constitutes Kenyan Geneva is unrelated to the issue of... is not necessarily dependent upon what the din is by Shabbos. Right? In other words, Mashicha and the Rishus HaRabim, I don't think is based upon a notion of Akira. And Hanacha, right? Kinyanim are a demonstration of Bailus. It happens to be that there's an overlap. Hagbah, it might be. It doesn't have to be, but the din of Hagbah of Kinyan and the din of Hagbah is on Akira and Shabbos might be the same din. In other words, to demonstrate Bailus and to be considered no, which means to that it's no longer sitting on the ground in your Rishus, but it's in my Rishus, I have to pull it off the ground. And pulling something off the ground means that you can't be within three Tvachim of the ground.
What?
But why do you have to pull it off the ground if you're leaving the guy's property? If you're leaving his
You property? Don't.
I'm saying what?
You don't not oh, not not for not for Geneva, not for Geneva.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
Only for Shabbos. Shabbos, in order to be sent a Kira, the Ramban says it's got to be three tefachim off the ground. Dragging it on the ground would not be constituted an akira. Yeah. Zach.
Why don't we just say that putting something into motion is akira, just like when you have something in your pocket and you start walking?
Well, that's more or less what the Ritva says. That is what the Ritva says.
Why would it? What's the problem with that?
Because we're used to thinking that anything that samoch la'ara three tefachim is ka'ara, because based upon lavan. In the same way.
But it's moving.
What's that?
It's moving.
So I agree with you. I think the Ritva makes far more sense because according to the Ramban, I don't understand. Although that's a really interesting case. Even according to the Ritva, this is a geometry calculus problem. If you roll the ball according to the Ritva, what's the din? Yes, but isn't the point always in contact with the ground as the ball rotates? It actually depends. If the ball is perfectly inflated, if it's a perfect circle, which is impossible, but if it looks like, we're going to say, the halacha would say if it looks like a perfect circle, right? You understand why a ball can't be a perfect circle? And you take physics? You know when you stretch out a string and you pull it really tight, you know the string isn't straight, right? Yeah. Denikoff, are you pre-med?
Yeah.
Did you take physics?
Yeah.
Why not? Why not? If it were perfectly straight, your force would be exerted only on the y-plane, and gravity is pulling down. It's impossible that it doesn't bend a little bit. You took physics. There are others of you who took...
ball, like, if you're talking like on the atomic
so anyway,
level,
I'm sorry.
Like a ball's not perfectly round either.
What's that?
On the atomic level, if you have a ball that's perfectly round, and you have a surface...
Except that for the ball to be perfectly round, the weight is going to force a little bit of sagging.
Did you say gravity is going to be dragging it down?
Gravity, the Earth is exerting a force on the string down.
The Earth exerts a force on everything involved, including your hands also. So like,
but your hands are.
But there's no normal force pushing back. If you take the string, if this is the two sides. If I take a 2x4 and I put it across, the 2x4 must sag a little bit, even if you can't perceive it. It must sag because on the sides of the 2x4, you have a normal force pushing back against the gravity. But in the middle, there's no normal force. Did you take physics, Schleien? Okay, that's your excuse. But then you're not supposed to ask Kashas. Okay? See, I can say, lo physicist anochi, but ben physicist anochi. And I took it when I was in college. Yes, as Shimon. So one sec. So the ball, but if the ball looks like a perfect circle, then in theory, you're chayiv because as soon as it rotates, the piece that was in contact is no longer in contact. Imagine a flat tire. When you have a flat tire, you don't have everything. In other words, the way a flat tire moves is like the same way as moving the object like this a little bit, right? The flatter the tire gets, the more, as the calculus people might say, the flatter the tire gets, as the tire's flatness goes towards infinity, it begins to resemble a line. Okay, just flatten your tire. So the bottom line is if it's a perfect circle, and this is Taramada, come on guys. What's that? Oh, I'm sorry, you're not getting any credit in the college though. So, in fact, Schleien's going to fail his physics if he doesn't get it quickly. No, it's all Torah. Okay. So anyway, so the bottom line is, so Zach, if you have a perfect circle, in theory, if it looks like a perfect circle, that's all Halacha cares about. So every time it moves, the part that was in contact is no longer in contact. So that solves that problem. Okay, so that's why if you roll something, even for the Ritva, you're going to be Chayiv. Right? For the Ramban, I don't know why you're Chayiv. And for the Ravid, I don't know why you're Chayiv. Right? Zorek, I understand. But what if you are Megalgel something? Right? So maybe they say you Potter. I don't know. Now, does that mean that if you want to play soccer according to the Ramban and the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, as long as the ball doesn't leave the ground, you're okay?
Isn't the original point that there's a Hanacha between... When you're moving the object like that, you're doing a full hanacha while there's still an aspect of that item touching
it. No, it has to be a point in the object attached to the ground where it was attached after you roll it once.
Right, but now, because now it's a hanacha.
It's a, right. It, it, yes.
The ball is there's no hanacha with the ball. It may be that there was at the original point.
No, that's okay. You don't have to have that.
I
you want to say that since the ball doesn't stop, you don't even have to say that is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right? The akira takes place. But I'm saying.
It's an akira. You're moving the ball.
I don't know if that I actually don't know if that matters because it means if you keep doing it.
You have to do it so fast that it never is at the point where.
So I think that Gemara's din applies even if you don't have any perceptible stop. You could do it in such a way. I don't think any distinction is made. But okay, so we agree anyway for the Ritva. One way or the other, it's high. Fine. Daniel.
When you said for the Ritva that it has to Megara Vyotse.
I think it means you have to stop right before the. No, Megara Vyotse means it's on the edge and you pull it off.
That's what I'm saying.
Pull it in.
It can't be one swift thing from 20 feet in.
I can't, because otherwise that would be this exact same case of Magbia. What?
It's a multi-law Dua issue. What's the issue?
No.
Why could you then just say it's still simultaneous? I don't understand.
No, but why can't you say by Hagbah it's simultaneous? The point is that the problem that the Gemara has with Hagbah is since if the Hagbah is the Akira of the Malacha, okay, and therefore you can't do this Malacha in this case without doing Hagbah first, yet the Braisa says you're Mischayev on the Geneva before you're Bali Deyesu Skila. And the only way it sounds like, so what's the difference between that case and the Megara case? If it's dragging it like this, and the Ritva is correct, that's called Akira is when you start to drag it, when the entire object leaves its original place. So bottom line is, why is there a difference at all in the Braisa? It's what does the Gemara think? Before you get to asking Kashas anybody, what is the chiluk between the two cases? That's why I think the chiluk has to be for the Ritva. Megara Vyotse means I stop here, right at the edge, literally. Then I pull it in.
You don't think if one of the Gemara's maskana, either Ben Azai or even before Ben Azai, that would still work?
The maskana sa Gemara, of course it's easy. The maskana sa Gemara, we turn the Hagbah case into a case with, this is my Hagbah. Okay, I'll take a nap now.
Correct.
Okay, now I won't. So then, of course, but I want the Havamina of the Gemara. Correct. Okay. In the maskana of the Gemara, it's fine. The Akira can be here because, at least, provided that you hold like the first Lashon, which the truth is, if you hold like the second Lashon anyway, of course, well,
Matziladura,
right.
You can stop in the middle, if it's 20 feet away, then
right.
It's
clearly
not simultaneous.
Right. Right? No. Okay, this
Why
is,
not?
I don't believe what I just said. This is all wrong. It's all Narishkeit, what I just said. Everything I said is true, except for one point. The problem with the Gemara, it doesn't matter for the Ritva. The whole kasha is not a kasha. It doesn't matter if the akira begins here. That's not a problem.
That's what I was saying. No?
Why not? Not for the maskana, for the havamina. Why? I can't believe you guys let me get away with this.
Maybe the rabbi is trying to say.
Because the geneva starts at the time where
someone who's machnif in divrei Torah is a rasha.
What?
You don't have to speak to your rebbe respectfully, but if you're machnif your rebbe in divrei Torah, you're a rasha. I'm not assuming you're machnevi. I assume you have such respect that you assume that I must be right, and you don't understand why not. But you're supposed to. You're supposed to. Why is it wrong? It doesn't matter if that's the akira for Shabbos. What's the key point? I don't care. It's okay if the akira for Shabbos starts here, and the geneva only takes place here. The problem is, what if the geneva takes place here, and the akira only comes later of Shabbos?
Or I should say,
if the chiyuv of Shabbos only comes later. I don't care when the akira of Shabbos began. I care really only about the chiyuv of Shabbos. Right? As if I do this, that's enough. Why? Because granted, the akira of Shabbos might. I think what I said is wrong. The akira of Shabbos might have started here, but Tanacha takes place here, and the Geneva takes place here. That's fine. Yeah.
My defense, I phrased it very poorly, but I was trying to say that. All
fine.
I phrased
okay.
it badly.
Okay. Fine. Ezra Shema?
If you're dragging a bag of apples and it tears open while it's half in the Shizrabim, half in the Shizrabim, and apples fall out in the Shizrabim, are you chayav for those apples?
It's an excellent question. You have to look at a Mishnah in Shabbos in the 9th or 10th parak about when you have a kli with multiple stuff in it, you know, multiple compartments, and what if you motzi part of it, but an entire compartment, you can take a look at that. That's not our question. It's a Shabbos question. Zach?
I just want to say, I think this may be this machlokes is showing that this when the akira is kind of supports what I was telling you after Shishane about maybe this Raisa holds that there's no Akira Hanacha and Mirushus. It's just a matter of Hutsas, Mirushus. Then at that point, it doesn't matter when there's an Akira, it doesn't matter when there's Hanacha, it's all Boyin Ke'echa, because the time that you take the item out, no matter how you take it out, you take it out from one Shishus to another.
Well, that, I mean, if you want to say that what you're identifying is the Ravid Shita, more or less. Right, okay, so that's certainly possible.
So the Ravid holds that it's an Akira at the time of Hatzah.
Correct. You know, he holds that the Akira merishes that. Correct, and he would say. That's what's bothering me. In other words, as it seems that it's okay, and that is what's bothering me about that's what's bothering me about the Ritva. Not the Ravid. Let me tell you why not the Ravid. I think the Ravid would say that the Akira is when I take it out of this Rishus, and the Hanacha comes immediately, almost simultaneous, when it's now all in the Rishus HaRabim. The Akira is completed when I finish dragging it out, and now I'm at the Hanacha, and that's the Chi of Mama. It works for the Ravid better. For the Ritva, where if I start dragging here, so it's true, the Geneva doesn't take place until I take it into Shazrapim, when the Chi of Shabbos becomes a possibility, but it doesn't actually, the Chi of Shabbos doesn't happen until I stop. The answer might be is it doesn't matter, because since if I stop now, I would be Chayav on Shabbos, and ultimately I do stop, we look at the Chi of as if it's already now.
Also that it's
so that answers the Ritva, the question on the Ritva.
But it's also assuming that by the time you're a hero, it's the whole like Meshech Hamaisa, whereas like which is what Rabbi Avin said, we're trying to reject it now.
Well, what we don't want, I would say, what we don't want is the I think that's what we don't want the Kenyan to take place.
Don't we want the Kenyan? We
don't want the before the Hanacha, in effect. That's what we're really saying. The Hanacha doesn't have to be mamish the Hanacha, but it has to be in a place where if I stop now, I'm chayiv. Let's put it that way. The problem was that by Hagbah is that even though this is the Akira of the Malacha, even let's kira the Malacha, I'm not chayiv yet. I'm not chayiv yet. In Shabbos, but I am chayiv in Gereva. That's what the Brisa seems to be saying. But according to the first Lashon of the Gemara, since the Akira ultimately connects to Hanacha, why don't you say it's simultaneous? You don't. What was the case? At that point, what does the Gemara envision as? Ultimately, the Gemara rejects that. Right? So that's what Daniel was saying. Maybe he had two kashas in mind. Okay? But one of them is that the Maskana said Gemara, the whole question disappears. But in the Havamina, that the Akira of Gereva cannot precede the Hischaivus, which really means the Hanacha. And that was the kashi against the first lashon. So what I would say is that when you're megarer, I don't care about what the akira might take place earlier. The key is that the geneva doesn't take place until it comes in through the shrisarabim, and that's when the hanacha takes place as well. Your kasha was but you could drag it further, and then the hanacha doesn't take place until then. So for the ravid, it's not a kasha. But even for the tva, because the ravid would say this is the akira, this is the hanacha by definition, since you don't pick it up off the ground and put it down on the ground. Stopping is.
Taking it out,
is Akira and Hanacha, in effect. But for the Ritva, but for the Ritva, I think it's still not Akasha, because even though maybe in Hilchos Shabbos, this Chayvus doesn't take place till I actually stop, since if I stopped right now, I would be Chayiv, we view that already as the Shas as Chayvus, as anywhere in here, as opposed to when I did an Akira in the Rishus Hayach and Mamish, and I start moving it. If I stop right now, what's the din? Before I exit, I'm pater on Shabbos. So we don't say that I'm chayav on Shabbos yet. Once I cross the line, even if I haven't technically put it down yet, I'm chayav already. I might even be reversible, even though I could make a U-turn. Forget. But the point, because if I stop right now, I'm chayav. So because I went 3 feet more, we don't care. As opposed to when I do the hagbah here and I start walking. Now the geneva's taken place already. Now, but if I stop now, what's the din? I'm part of it because I haven't exited yet. So that's, the Ritva would just say that once, in other words, the Gemara is only concerned that the the geneva not take place before the potential hanacha, right? If it takes place in a situation where you can't do hanacha yet, where you won't be chayv on hanacha yet, so then it's really kodem lahanacha. But if it's in a place, if the geneva takes place when I could already put the object down and be chayv for Shabbos, even if I carry the object 4 feet further, it doesn't matter.
But that's also assuming a kira tzor hanacha, isn't it?
That what?
It's assuming a kira tzor hanacha.
Everybody agrees that a kira is tzor hanacha. The question is,
well,
does that...
Well, the question is...
No. Listen to me. Legabe melecha Shabbos, if you don't have an akira, you don't have hanacha. But the assumption of... The assumption of the first Lashon is that it's all simultaneous as long as it takes place with the Nikir and Hanacha. And the Gemara right now, in the Havamina, the Makshan, would say that that's not true. That just because the Akira has taken place doesn't mean it's considered Shas Chilul Shabbos to become a Rabbanan if you do the Geneva now. What has to have happened already is you have to have gotten to a point where if you stop now and you do Hanacha now, you're Chayav on Shabbos. If the Geneva takes place now, even though you might carry a little further, that doesn't mean it's not simultaneous.
So what's the difference between the kasha and the sefer of the brisa
and the resh of the brisa according to the Makshan's understanding?
No. And the avin according to Mishnah Kama. The sefer of the brisa and Rabbi Avin's case of the Zohar Chetz in the Mishnah Kama. What's the difference between those two cases?
Well, the point of the Gemara's kasha is. The point is that Rabbi Abin is wrong.
Right, exactly.
The difference...
But it seems to be saying the exact same thing. You have a Kira, and you have a Chiyuv Mamun in the middle between Akira and Hanacha and Yechai.
So what I'm telling you is that here it's not between Akira and before Hanacha, as Rabbi Abin's case. It's simultaneous with the Hanacha. Not the Hanacha that you may do in the end, but the Hanacha which you can do. In other words... In Rabbi Abin's case, assuming you could, you know, go to the Megara case, okay? Mavir case. In Rabbi Abin's case, when I walk and I tear the Shirayim and I go past that, right? The point is, if I stop now, am I chayav on Shabbos? No, because I haven't gone Dalet Amos yet. And therefore, even though in the actual Akira and Hanacha that I did, the Kriya Shirayim took place, it doesn't matter because the Kriya Shirayim took place before the Malacha could have been finished. That's what the Gemara is assuming, I think. How would you explain, based upon its premise, how do you explain Megara V'yotze? The answer is by Megara V'yotze, the Hanacha... The Geneva takes place when I could do the Hanacha already. If I stop as I do the Geneva, I'm Chayiv on Shabbos and the Geneva right now. The fact that I can technically delay the Chayiv of Shabbos, I don't care. As opposed to Magbia or Mavir the thing, whereas if I stop it right after I tear the stuff, or right after I'm going to the stuff, I'm not going to be Chayiv on Shabbos, even though that ultimately turns out to be part of the Malacha.
Dafka, as opposed to eight Amos, and half the Kriya Shirayim, half the
Akira. So then you're going to have to say that Megara, in order to, on that, you'd have to say then, Megara V'yotze means I pull it out and stop right there.
What I'm saying is that the Kriya Shirayim, in Rabbi Abin's case, has to be before you've gone Dalet Amos, before the Chetz has gone Dalet Amos.
Oh, correct. Oh, I see what you're saying, yes.
It says, Mitchilas Arbelesof Arbedafka, as opposed to...
I got, yes, correct. Correct. You would say that if you tear once you pass the Dalet Amos mark, since you could do Hanacha there, everybody would agree it's simultaneous, even in the Makshan Svara here. Correct. Lamaskana Sagamar, it's irrelevant. Like Lamaskana, we're going to say, we're going to make an Ukimta in the first case, the Magbia, that you stopped. And since the Akira of Geneva is one Akira, but then you do a new Akira for the Malach of Shabbos, that's why they're not simultaneous. Okay. Fine. So you even got that as well. Now, the Gemara continues. So who was reading for me? Who was reading yesterday, Adin? Kasdan. It's your turn.
Okay.
Which
line did we stop off?
Okay, so now, Vamai, the last line he read was Vamai, Hochanami, Lemo Hagbatzar, Chotzahi, and you should be potter even in the case when you pick up the watch here and you walk in carrying into the Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because since the Malacha begins, since Lemaisa, in practice, the Akira of the Malacha here was when I was Magbiyah, and that's simultaneous with the Geneva. The Malacha begins then, and the Geneva takes place within the time frame between Akira and Hanacha and Advi Ad Bechlal. Therefore, It should have been pater even when you when your gonave kiss and you magbia the kiss and you walk out with it. So the Gemara's answer is. Okay, so stop now. So what's the Gemara's teretz? It's very simple teretz. If it were only Trun Hilcha Shabbos, we could go home. Well, almost. We couldn't, not necessarily, but if it were only Trun Hilcha Shabbos, then how would we have solved the problem? Well, it goes like this. There's the Rosh Hashanah. Okay, I pick up the watch. I think I'm going to go hang it on the thing here to show you how nice my watch is. And you know, I think I'm going to go outside. So, when I did the original Akira Almanas Lahatsneo, so that's one Akira, the assumption is. But then, when I change my mind and I continue walking, so that's the assumption of the Gemara seems to be, that's what Tosis claims, is that was a new Akira. That was a new Akira. Why did they assume, well, now, why did they assume that there was a new Akira?
Because there's a cognitive change.
I understand that, but why would they think that that should constitute a new Akira? So, why do they... So the Gemara is making a mistake right now. The mistake seems to be they assume you're chayav on Shabbos in this case. And if you're chayav on Shabbos in this case, why are they assuming that the change of mind constitutes an Akira, a new Akira? Why? What's that?
Can you just say Akira Gufo Kakira Chepetz? If you were standing still, let's say...
It's not a case of Kisha Ahmad. Be careful.
Well, the case you just outlined, you kind of were standing...
I made a U-turn. Never stop moving.
I assume the problem was because you weren't Chal HaShabbos.
What's that?
I assume the problem was because you weren't Chal HaShabbos.
The Gemara's Kash is in the end. It doesn't. You solve the problem why you're Chayav on the Geneva, but then there's no Chil HaShabbos. So, at all. And that the problem is that the Brisa says that Farnes Chayav Geneva Kodem Shiavol the Disreskila. It's Mashmet. You do ultimately violate the Disreskila. But if what I did was, okay, I think I'm going to hang this up, and then I just keep walking, I'm not Chayav Skila at all. Why? Because. So the assumption of the Gemara was, if the mistake in assuming Chayim, they must have assumed that obviously it can't be the original Akira that's Mechayim. I mean, why not? Because they know that if the Akira is not a Manas Lotzah, so then that can't be what's Mechayim you. It's not a Melechs Mashevitz, it's not a proper Melacha. So that's what Tosa says in the second to last Tosfos, that the Havamin of the Gemara was that the Akira Shnia is when I change my mind, even if I haven't stopped physically. So the Gemara ultimately rejects this why, the obvious. So the Gemara says, V'chi ha'gavna.
V'chi ha'gavna mi'chayav, v'hamor av simonam ha'rabi ami ha'rabi yochanan, v'mefana chafatzim mizavid lezavid, v'nim lachleim potzian, hater.
So that seems to be an accepted din of Rabbi Yochanan, that if I carry something because I box, because I want to put it on the side of the room, and then I decide, you know, it's better off in the storehouse across the street, and I carry it into the Rosh Hasharabim, and I put it there, I'm pater, because the Akira Rishona wasn't for the purposes of Hotzah. So the Hotzah, Hanacha was a Hanacha of Chiyu, but the Akira wasn't an Akira of Chiyu, and therefore I haven't done a complete Malacha.
You're pater even if you know it's Shabbos and you know that it's Asur Dekei, but...
Correct.
You genuinely realize, like, oh, this actually would be better if I brought it to my friend's house. Like, it would be more useful or something that you can just go carry and just start. Like,
it's not mutter midrabana, but it's your pater midaraisa.
Okay,
it's
not mutter.
Okay. So now, the Gemara gives an answer. Except that there's a little catch here. What is the Gemara's answer? Read it. Okay. Alright, so now, here's the problem. There are many kisfeyat, apparently. I didn't check. Sam, I don't know if you looked at this, that do not have the words lotema amanas lotzia el amanas lotzio. El atzneo al amanas lotzio. But rather have hacha b'mayaskina. Now, why does that matter? In fact, leave out the stuff, even the ritva. I don't know if any of the Rishonim, I'm not sure. Oh, it is an hour Rashi. One second. Does anybody...
Did you see the sheets of Mukhubatsa?
What Gemara do you have? Probably the same thing we're looking at here. So it's clear that... So many of the Kisfeyad don't have this. The Ritva doesn't have it, but he talks about the word Ella. Ella is a really important word. In fact, Ella might be one of the most important words in Shas. That sounds very strange. Why is Ella one of the most important words in Shas? Shlayan, where are you? Why is Ella one of the most important words in Shas?
Because you never know quite
what's going to reject. Well, no. Ella tells you that it's what was said before is being rejected.
I said you never know quite what's telling you to reject.
Okay, fine. Same thing. So the point is that when you don't have the word Ella, what it usually, when you say Hachava Mayaskina and you don't have the word Ella, and this is not the only phrase it occurs with, it means that we are further qualifying the previous statement. In this case, we have qualified the Braisa, and Hachava Mayaskina would be a further qualification. We've qualified the Braisa initially by saying he was Magbiya Amanas Lahatsnio, and now we're saying that it was Amanas Latsneo and Amad. There's a big problem with that. The continuation, it won't make any sense if you say that. If you put in the word Ella, even without all the other paraphernalia, which is really just an explanation of Ella, then it means the Gemara shifted gears. Forget it. Forget what we said before. It's not Amanas Latsneo. It's Amanas Lotsio. It's Amanas Lotsio. Okay? And what would the din be if, in fact, you were Motzi it? If you were motzi it normally, without Ahmad, what would the din be?
Chayev.
You would be Chayev. Nope. On Shabbos. What would the din be on the Geneva? Potter. In other words, exactly what you would expect according to the Lishna Kama of Akira Tzarech Hanacha. In other words, exactly what you thought the Braisa should have said, if a guy picks it up and walks out into Shabbat, that's exactly the din. But the Braisa says the opposite. The Braisa says you're chayiv and you don't say kamei raminei. Yeah, because the Braisa is in a funny case. The Braisa is in a case when he picked it up and he stopped. So I did two akiras. Yes.
I know this is veering off a little bit. It just seems so strange that they need to explain it. Can't they just say that like the principles that they're going to use are maybe maybe principles that were used later on, and trying to explain a case by putting new information into the case is just like a false way to. Why can't they just accept that the Hagba is up? Do you understand my question? It just like they're trying to explain a problem.
But that's what the Gemara always does. If they're trying to resolve a text in accordance with a certain sheet, that sometimes ukim tezer dechukos. It's true.
I just don't know why wouldn't the Braita or the Tanaitic line just mention the fact that.
Because, you know, why does the Constitution, you know, obscure so many issues and leave so much between the lines and between the words that you can have? Supreme Court justices 200 years later, you know, screaming at each other over how to read a particular line. The answer is that's the nature sometimes of law codes. It's just the way it is. So,
yeah.
You know, look, the Yushalmi has a different derech halimud of the Mishnah than the Bavli does at times. But not that the Yushalmi never makes ukimtas either. Right? And the truth is, on some level, the Bryce itself begs a distinction. You think there's a more obvious distinction, which is what the Gemara's Makshan thought. Okay, but it still requires, you know, even in a Megara Viyotze, we had to explain certain things that are not explicit in the Bryce. Okay, so now, if you accept the word Ella, then basically, lo tema amanas latsnio, ela ema amanas lotsio, is really what's going on. Now, in all probability, those words are not original to the Gemara. Why not? Why do those words not belong there? It's correct in substance.
If we're going to reject everything that is simple, we have to correct that false.
Right. Now, why would anybody say Magbiya was Amanas Lotzio? Of course, that's the whole point. He picked it up and he stole it and walked out. You don't need to say, you don't make the Kim Tachem Askinan Bigbiya Amanas Lotzio. That's what we were assuming in the first place. That's the obvious reading of it. You don't need to fill that in. So this is...
Does that ever happen? Normally when we have an ukimta and then we reject an ukimta, do we normally say, forget that ukimta? Is that...
Correct. That's also true. Yeah, there's no reason...
Does it happen?
I don't think normally you would say that in a case like this. Not when Amanas Lotzio was what we thought in the first place. Lo teima amanas latsnio. Ella, ema amanas latsnio. Why do you need ema? Why do you need to say it? Go back to the Braisa and just leave it as it is. That's what we would have assumed. That's why I think that this is a perush of some medieval figure that it got incorporated into the manuscript somehow. You know, a lot of times that happened with the Bavli, with the words of the Gaonim. When the Gaonim wrote, the Gaonim's dialect was Bavli Aramaic, so sometimes they wrote their comments in the Gemara, and it was meant to be Perush, and that word Perush fell out. You can see this sometimes in Kisvayat, where there was some Kisvayat have the word Pei Yud, Shrich, or something like that, and it's an interpolation, it's not an interpolation of the Gemara, it's Perush on the Gemara. much like those you've ever studied, any of you studied Dead Sea Scrolls?
Yeah.
So you have a verse quoted, Sharim. You have a verse quoted, and it says, Upishro, its explanation is, and then there's the Qumran interpretation of that part, right? That's what the Gaonic commentaries were often written into the text of the Gemara, with the marking of the words, Perush, right? Or if, like, have you ever seen the, I think it's the funniest thing in the world, the Shnayim Mikra Vechatargum Chumashim?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Right? But with these, if I'm not mistaken, the one that I've seen is that you have the pasuk embedded in the text is the targum, right?
Not
twice.
Only that,
the pasuk twice. I know the pasuk right. Twice and embedded in the targum. Okay, but the point is, what would happen if somebody accidentally changed the font on the targum? It would start. In our case, it'd be obvious because it's Aramaic. But the point is, let's say you had a modern Hebrew targum, you know, or rabbinic Hebrew targum, and you had a shnayim bechor targum chumash like that. What would happen if somebody accidentally changed the global? He blocked the entire thing and changed the font to the same font. All of a sudden, the text would start to blend together. So that's what happened with...
That's not like a modern thing. Like, the Yemenites had that sort of, the pasuk and targum, the pasuk and targum.
Did they have the pasuk twice?
No. I'm saying the fact that you have a targum afterwards...
I get it. I didn't say it's Quran. The Gaonim do it. I know it's not new.
Okay.
I was choosing that example because imagine what would happen if. Okay. Sam?
The phrase, Ema Amen Asosia, is only in Vilna.
Is only...
In the Vilna.
Right. Okay. So, what about Lotei Mamanas Latzniel?
Also only in the Vilna.
Correct. Okay. So basically, what Sam has informed us, Sam is the Kisvei Yad man, is that those words do not exist in any manuscript or any edition until the Vilna Shas. At least that they use with on the Lieberman CD-ROM. So the bottom line is it doesn't exist. It's somebody. It's the printer's commentary.
What's Rashi?
So I don't. That's what I looked before to see, and it's in the Dibur Maschil. It's in the Dibur Maschil of Rashi. But one wonders whether or not Rashi really had it, and the Vilna editors put it in based upon some manuscript that we don't have, or whether somebody just backfilled that into Rashi, and the Dibur Maschil should have been something like Ela Hacha B'maya Skinan, you know, Udakashalach. You'll do. I don't. You could rearrange. You have to look. I don't. My expertise in Kisveyat is limited to that of the Gemara. I don't know Rashi's Kisveyat at all. So you have to go back and see what was there.
But that Dibur Maschil is the only one that would fit with this comp.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, I mean, if his Dibur Maschil was El Hacham Bayaskinon, you're not going to ask.
No.
Man,
no. You could just do Hacham Bayaskinon Kisha Amad. The next Dibur Maschil, Udakashalach Neymar Ba Tzar Chatzahi. Kama amidaso hi hanocha lakira rishona. That's all.
You mean to take out?
Yes, combine the Dibur Maschil. This frequently happens; they get split, and put the second Dibur Maschil as the first. I don't think he normally would do that. As I think it would be. He usually gives explanatory background information in that fashion. Okay, there are ways to deal with that problem. It's probably not going to help you here because this is probably not in the Rif. But one of the places you may get access sometimes to a more Ksavyat-like version of Rashi is in the Rashi on the Rif. Rashi did not write a commentary on the Rif. I don't remember that. When did the Rif live? Not by much. I'm not sure at all how much he lived. I think he died after Rashi died. What? He's 11th century like Rashi is. He dies, I think, after Rashi. I don't know if he's born a little bit before. Rashi, I don't think... The best man does not. Tosus has the Rif. Rashi does not have the Rif. The commentary on the Rif in Rashi was just somebody took from Rashi from some manuscript and put it there. And sometimes it's different from the Rashi's in the Gemara. But you should regard that as not a comment on the Rif, but another text of Rashi.
2 years before Rashi.
What?
2 years before Rashi.
The Rif died 2 years before Rashi. Close enough. When was he born?
He was born in 13.
He was born?
10-13.
Okay. So it's not inconceivable, but I don't know that Rashi ever quotes the Rif. So Tosus definitely does. Not frequently, but does. Yes, Dan.
Did you see the Shitimu Gubet said on the line, Lo Tam Amanat Matsneo? He explains why. I know it doesn't fit with the manuscripts, but he explains why he thinks the line is actually necessary.
Is this Shitimu Gubet in your Gemara or outside?
No, it's outside the Gemara.
So I haven't seen it. He quote refers in the Hekosin, he refers to Shitimu Gubet says, it's Nachon Ligros, the Ella. Ella Hacham Ayskin.
Ella may solve his problem.
Ella is what's needed for the problem.
Some have Ella.
Right, that's where that reading exists. The Ritva knows that reading exists.
That's what I think it might be. I think it may be also that if you didn't have Ella, then he That's why he said you needed
that. Okay.
Because you would have had the Havamina.
That Ahmad is a qualification within Hatsniya.
That only works if your initial thing was Hatsniya, and he says Kamashwala. No, it's adding that line to teach you that even if it was Amana Potsio, your Ahmad Lafosh will still divide it. Will still stop it.
Okay, I see where that's coming from, but there's a problem. The problem the Ritva has is that if it's Amanas Lahatsneo, and you say Hachar Maskinan Kisha Amad, so then the problem is that because then if Amad Lachatef, and then you're saying Amad Lafush, he is he's Chayav on the Geneva first, and therefore Shabbos, he's not Pater on Shabbos. The problem is that if Amad Lachatef, granted, he's not Chayav on Shabbos at all.
I know, and
that's the problem.
I understand.
Okay,
that he's still saying that you would have had that faulty hab on me, and I didn't want to emphasize it.
Okay, so now, Hacha B'Mayaskin, new approach. New approach, which is Kisha Amad. So the simple reading right now, if you don't know any Hilchos Shabbos, is that if I pick it up to take it out, and then I stop to get a cup of coffee, and then I once again continue going. So I violated Geneva. I was Kona the King of Geneva when I picked it up. But that was not the Akir of Shabbos. The Akir of Shabbos took place later, when I once again started an emotion out. So that would be, and so we understand what's the din. Chayev on the Geneva, because you're Nischayev on the Geneva, Kodem Sheyevo the Disser Skila. So now the Gemara says, but you have to know Hilchos Shabbos.
Amon Lamai, Ilachatev or Chedru, Ela Bome Lafush, Lachatev Mai, Pater.
So you have to say, what's the case? So when I pick an object up to carry it, and I stop, when does stopping constitute hanacha? When does amad constitute a hanacha? And when does amad not constitute a hanacha? It's kind of funny, actually, the word itself. You would think amida constitutes an akira, not a hanacha. But you have to read, what does the word amad mean? To stand still.
Yeah.
In biblical Hebrew, you have this as well. I think where Vayamod Ha'am. I think when Yoav, I think it's where Yoav killed Amasa. So he killed them, and he was rolling in blood on the highway. And everybody would stop. All the soldiers stop by. And I think it's the Vayamod Ha'am. They would stop there because it's rubbernecking. What's that? No, not when he killed Asa. When he killed Amasa, the general who David replaced him with after Shonbayim. It's Vayamasa. If it's there, it's not by us. It's not by Asahel. I don't think so.
Okay.
You can check. It should be in Shmuel Beis Perek Yutes or Chaf or something like that. It's at the Sheva Ben Bichri rebellion. So anyway, so you have an idea. It's to stand. Amad means to stand still. Okay, but there you have a qualified mizapo.
Well, yeah.
I agree, but here, vayamod without something, but it can mean without it. It means to stand still. So it means to stop. So the point is that amad, it depends why you stop. If you stop because the package isn't sitting right on you, you want to readjust your backpack or the object in your hand, that's not called an amida, that's not called a hanacha, because that's part of the carry. If you stop to rest, then that's considered a stop. Okay? So therefore, the Gemara says, obviously, it must be Omed Lafush. El Omed Lafush. So now the Gemara turns around and says,
wait,
Aval Lachatef Mai. Okay? So, okay, fine. So you explained the Brisa's din. You know why the guy is Chayiv on the Geneva before the other Seskila? Because it's a case where he picked it up in the Rosh Hashayachid. This watch is so heavy. After walking to near the door, he said, I need a rest. Okay? And now he decides to continue walking with it. So, and that's why, that makes sense, as opposed to Megara Va'ome, Megara V'yotze, Megara V'yotze, right, where you could say, wherever you want to say, whether he stopped or didn't stop, the bottom line is, at some point, he drags it out, and the Akira and Hanacha, the Geneva and an Akira happen at the same, at the same time. Let's put it this way, the Geneva is not before the Akira. The Geneva is not before the Akira. So now the Gemara is just bothered. The problem with the Sukkimta is not a substantive problem. And the problem is, how does it fit into the concept of the Braisa? Because there's a general rule in rabbinic literature, even though there are many violations of this rule, the Mishnayos and Braisos like to teach us the liminal cases. The liminal cases means you go up until the line of Pater, and then on the other side you go up until the line of Chayiv. What you don't like to do is to say this is Pater, this is Chayiv, and leave the in-between case undescribed, unexplained, or unpaskin. Right? You want to. The point is that if I say this is Pater and this is Chayiv, A is Pater, C is Chayiv. What is B? Well, if B was Pater, I should, instead of saying A is Pater, just say B is Pater and C is Chayiv. If B is Chayiv, I should have said A is Pater and B is Chayiv. I don't need to tell you C. So now the Gemara says, if you're looking for a case where you do say Kam Labrune and a case where you don't say Kam Labrune, or it's in the reverse order, so it's better to give two cases that have joined one another. So Ella Lachatev, what would it then be if I stopped, if I picked this watch up and I stopped just to fix it, you know, because it wasn't sitting right on my arm, I put it on my hand, and it's not, as I'm walking, it's not sitting right, so I adjust it, and now I continue walking, so that's not an Amida. That doesn't constitute Hanacha. So in that case, we say Kam Labrune, because the Akira was the Geneva, the Akira of Malach Shav was the Geneva, and like Akira Tzara Hanacha. So Aval Chatech Mai, it would be Potter because of Kam Labi the Rabbimine, right? Not because you weren't Machal Shabbos, right? So the Gemara says, Adetani.
Adetani Hayam Megarvi, Otim Garvi, Otim Patu, Niflog, Vinisne, Bididah, Kam Ezra, Mamurim, Bomen, the first of Alachate, Patu.
Right, so Niflog, Vinisne, Bididah means, literally, Tosis actually comments about this because he talks about this here. Niflog, Vinisne, Bididah means, let us draw a distinction, Niflog. Vinisne, let us teach the case, what does Bididah mean?
With itself.
So in the very same case that you started with.
Somewhat similar.
That you started with a case of Higbiya V'Amad. So draw the case where you are Pater because of Kamarne in a Higbiya V'Amad. Niflog, Vinisne, Bididah in the very same case. You don't have to go to a totally new case. So you said that when he was Magbiya and he was Amad Lafush, he's chayiv to pay because Karnas chayiv b'gnevat shalis eskila. Now say kisha amad lechatev, he would be potter because gneva and skila are born keechad. That's what that means literally. Niflog v'nisne bedida. Okay, so ba'med v'amum alosh lechatev potter. So now the Gemara says, okay, scratch that. Ella.
Ella hamani ben azayi.
Okay. So Ben Azai says a very very big chiddush. I'm not mistaken, Ben Azai's case actually originally originates in a Kula case. What is the din if I carry... We have four Rishuyas in Shabbos, according to the Bafli. Rishuyas HaYochid, Rishuyas HaRabim, Carmelis, and Mekom Patur. Mekom Patur I'm going to leave out for the moment. It's kind of an odd type of situation. Midorais, it may be that Carmelis and Mekom Patur are the same. And neither Rishuyas HaRabim, neither Rishuyas HaYochid. What's the din if I carry from a Rosh Hashayachan into a Carmelis on Shabbos? Am I Chayav or my Potter?
Potter.
If I carry from Rosh Hashayachan into a Carmelis or vice versa, what's the din? What if I carry from Rosh Hashayachan straight into Rosh Hashayachan derech Carmelis?
Did you stop?
I didn't stop. So it's a machlokas. I believe Ben Azai says you're Potter. Why does Ben Azai say you're Potter? Because mahalech ka'ome dami. That when I step into the Carmelis, that's as if I have stopped. Now, some of you will realize instantly, wait, and Tosus comments on this briefly, how are you ever chayav a maver dalet amas b'shus harabim? So the Rishonim gives some answers, and the Yushalmi gives an answer, because it would be ridiculous, quote of Ben Azai, every step I take constitutes a hanacha. And I want the step, I step one step, I put down, that's a hanacha. I never go dalet amas, right? And you know the din is on Shabbos, if I carry a chayav, it's less than dalet amas, put it down for a little rest. I carry another dalet amas, put it down for a little rest. I can carry it, you know, the length of a marathon, and I'm still potter on Shabbos, right? That's the din. So it's called mahalach pachas pachas midalat amos b'shus harabim. It's asa midrabanan. You are allowed always to carry it in your dalat amos. There's no din of chatzis shir, but to move it more than dalat amos for its original place, based upon pachas 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 midalat amos, that's asa midrabanan normally. Okay, so the question is, according to Ben Azai, all havara of dalat amos by definition should be pachas pachas midalat amos. So there's an answer. Say that there's exeris akas halach l'moshe misinai, that's an exception to the rule. Okay, so the Gemara says that what's the answer here? You want to know why the guy is chayev on the geneva. You want to know why he's chayev on the geneva before he actually violates Shabbos, before he does the akira of Shabbos. Why? Because when I pick up the watch and I start to walk, I did an akira and hanacha. I've already done 10 akiras and hanachas before I even get to being Mechal Shabbos. The step that I take that crosses That's the Akira of Malach HaShabbos. But that's six Akiras down the road from the Akira of Geneva. And of course, everybody would agree that it's not simultaneous, and you say, you don't say, Kam lebe the Rabba Mine. Okay. So now the Gemara says the following. If the Ben Azai is correct, Aval. All right, so Ben Azai would agree. One answer for Ben Azai, one of the answers that the Rishonim quote, Tosas quotes this, is that it's the Yushalmi. You know how Ben Azai is Mechayev Ma'arvat Dalam Sprishas Harabim? If you jump.
It's a long jump.
6.5, 7 feet. If you take a running start, you can do it. Not too hard. As a broad jump, most of you would...
Start,
you're putter on those.
And that's how they
do it. Don't get it. Oh, who was the wise guy who asked that question? Was it you, Mati?
Yes.
Okay, don't ask me that question. Okay. It was the javelin. Listen, they had the Olympic Games in the Mishkan. You had the throwing of the Krushim. Then you had leaping with Krushim. You had all the games, okay? Okay. So, the Romans had their games in the Colosseum. The Jews had their games with the Mishkan. That's just the way it is. Fine. So, so now the Gemara says the following. Okay, so the truth is, you already realize that the kasha is on thinner ice.
This is not as analogous.
It's not the same case anymore. Which is why the question is, what happens next? The Gemara answers. Now, there's another girsa here. What's the other girsa? The Ritva points this out. Ella. Megara v'yotze itztrichalei. Tosfos most definitely did not have that girsa. Why?
He asked the question,
why didn't the Gemara make the chilek earlier? If Greira is such a big chiddush, why didn't the Gemara say, you know why we didn't say Amad 1 versus Amad 2? Because Greira is a big chiddush.
He says it's not as big of a chiddush, so, but really this would have applied to the other one as well.
But you look at the second part, he gives two answers, but it doesn't matter. Whatever his answer is, Tosus assumes that this qualification of Megara v'yotze itztrichale only works once you accept Ben Azai's teretz. Now, as Ben Azai's teretz says the following, the Breisha of the Breisha is dealing with Mahalik. The Seif of the Breisha could have been a case of Zorek, but instead, not Mahalik too, but Zorek. But the Breisha instead chooses Gorer, because Gorer might be a bigger Chiddush than Zorek. And that seems plausible. Tosa says that either Gorer wouldn't have been a bigger Chiddush than Mahalik too, or Gorer, the point is, the Gemara's Kash originally was, Omeid 1 and Omeid 2, you should have used Omeid 2, not Megara v'yotze. But once you have Mahalik versus Zorek, so Gorer is just as reasonable as Zorek, and therefore you can't be bothered by the question so much. So Tosus doesn't have it. The Ritva says that once the Gemara makes the qualification that Gorer was the Chiddush, then it works even within the first ten. As you can say, that is a case of Kisha Amad. You don't have to adopt it. You don't have to assume we're working with Ben Azai. You can say it's a case Kisha Amad Lafush is the Reisha. That's why Yechayev on the Geneva and the Anacha happens when you do Lafush. So therefore, you haven't violated Shabbos yet at all, and the Geneva's over. Now, when you continue start to walk again, that's the Akira of Shabbos. Whereas the Seifas Megara V'yotze, that's a Chiddush in its own right, and in that case, you say Kam Lebe D'Rabba Mine. Whereas Tosfos would say no, you have to accept that the Ukimta of Ben Azai, it's like Ben Azai Mahalek Omei Dami, but the reason why we chose Zorek and the reason why we chose Gorer, not Zorek, because Zorek is because Gorer is a big Chiddush. So that's what it says. Megar v'yotze tzrichale salka daita chamina. Okay, you would have thought that's not the normal way to carry things out. And therefore, the Bryce is telling you, in fact, it is normal to drag things out. But now the Gemara says, now the Gemara has to qualify as Uvamai. So if it's a large object, if it's a couch, the normal way you move a couch, in most circumstances, most of us move a couch, is by, if we can, we drag it. Because
yeah.
It's heavy. So that would, then what's no Chiddush? Of course, Megara v'yotze say, Yechayev an Shabbos. It's not a shinu in the Melacha. And if it's
something small, then of course, Yibizutre Lavo.
And therefore, you're not chayv on Shabbos. You're potter legamrei on Shabbos. Of course, there's no kamle rabinei because it's a malacha done deres shinui. Ela, what must it be? Okay, it has to be with medium. You would have thought medium objects. You would have thought maybe it's not darkum Shabbos, something you could pick up. But it's not so light that nobody would normally drag it, right? You normally don't drag a watch. It's not the way you do what's on a watch. But you know, a chair, you could, the chair, you could pick up, or you could drag it. And you do both.
Is the floor dirt?
Fee paskin like Rabbi Shimon. Okay? It might be light enough that it won't make a charetz. I got it. Okay, now, there is one minor problem that the Rishonim to point out here. Not necessarily a problem, but let me ask you a question. If this, pretend this is the floor, and let's say this is the Rishus HaRavim, or let's say a Karmelis, to keep, but you know, not your Rishus, but not the Rishus HaRavim, it's, you know, Simta, an alleyway. If I drag the watch, am I Kona? No, not Shabbos. Forget Shabbos. Why not? Because things that you normally do hagbah on, the Kinyan Mashiach doesn't suffice. Not in the opposite direction. In other words, normally you do not pick up an elephant. But Mistama, some of you know the famous Tosfos?
Jumping elephant?
Elephants can't jump, at least according to Trivial Pursuit. But Tosfos wants to know how you be, under certain circumstances, how do you envision being Kona an elephant? The Gemara says, Bachabiles Moros. Okay, so the question is, what does that mean? So some want to say that you the elephant steps up. You put it all under the elephant, and the elephant's standing on top of it, and it's removed from the ground. That's hagbah. That's one teretzitosis. The other explanation tosis is you hold it's food. You hold it up, and the elephant jumps for it, which is impossible. And all four legs are off the ground. But according to Trivial Pursuit, that's not possible.
Which also would apply that to other things.
Anyway, let's just come back here for a second. You have to know that Tosis. That's a good pickup line at a dinner party. Okay, you talk about Tosis and elephants jumping. Okay, you're at a Friday night table, and you want to impress the girl because you know you want to ask her out on a date. So you start talking about elephants jumping. What's the problem?
Hi.
Your silence, Nagar. I think one can assume the following. If you pick up the elephant, even if you get a hernia in the process, you're Kona. Right? As you pick up a very heavy object, even if that's not normal because it's very heavy, I think you're probably Kona. But why? Because you're still demonstrating bilus on it. But an object that's normally picked up, when you drag it along, you're just behaving funny. You're not actually making a kinyan. Yes? I don't know. I don't know if Mashiach requires removing it totally from its original place or not. I don't know. I don't remember if the Gemara talks about that, or I'm sure it's discussed somewhere. But Hagbah is a shear. It's machlokes to be shown, but Rashi says Hagbah requires three tefachim. Yes, Zach?
Well, so if you're not high for the greater on a on a on a on a sofa, on a sutra object, so why is our question why you're high for Shabbos?
No. So obviously the Gemara is assuming. The question is, what is the Gemara is assuming you're high that you're Kona. The question is why. So it sounds like the Gemara is assuming, that's what some Rishonim say, it's a machlokas with the sugya and Baba Basra. Sounds like the Gemara is assuming that if you are goer or an object that you could do hagbah on, but it's in between, that you're kona that way. If it's a mamish lav orche, you're not chayv on Shabbos.
Right.
Oh, you're saying you're also, the Gemara could have said that also, you're not
going.
What's that? Yeah, okay. I hear what you're saying. So anyway, so the answer might be that this Gemara is cholik on that, or there might be another way of being miyashe. Okay, fine. So this is we're going to stop here. This is the end of the first part. We have now established why, in order to avoid akasha on the first question, on the first lashon of the Gemara, which was namely that akira tzarach hanacha, and once from the time the akira in actuality begins, that was mechayev you on Shabbos, until the time the hanacha occurs. That is one moment in time, and if Geneva takes place in that time frame, you are pater because of Kamev the Rabba Binei, and by making the first case, that the Braisa case with Hagbah was totally separate. You did one Hagbah, you stopped, and now, however you stopped, physically, conceptually, Benazai, and now you do a new Akira, so the Geneva was completely before the Akira of Shabbos even started. Tomorrow, we're going to deal with the Gemara, which deals with how are you Kona? The question is, why are you Kona in this case, Mashiach and Rishus HaRabim? And that's the next part of the sugya. Okay.